Judo talk, talk, 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 judo talk, talk.
Hi everyone, and yeah, I'm back. It's good to be back. I know it's been a while. Yeah, apologies. It's been a crazy, crazy time for me, actually. There's been lots going on, and to be honest, it's obviously all my fault. I love doing the podcast when I actually sit down and do it, and I love thinking about it, and I love wanting to communicate with everybody. But one of the things actually I'm really, really good at is coming up with lots of ideas. That's sort of, you know, where pushing the club forwards and Dojo Launchpad and stuff, got lots of ideas, and I'm really, really good at getting things started. And then I have like the attention span of like a 5-year-old, and I get things started, and then my mind starts drifting off and I start doing other things. And, you know, it was the same, like, I absolutely love our club festival that we do. We do a club festival, 200 kids, it's brilliant. You know, we do it in a few hours. And for me, I love the idea of the challenge of how do you set it up? How do you get 200 people in? How do you make it all work really well and stuff? But once I've done it once, I then get, you know, just sidetracked. I'm like, oh, brilliant, I've done that, I can manage that. And then I want to find what's next. So one of the things I've been working on is actually like, who do I need to help me? What do I need to do to get this over the line and consistent? And there's one of the things I'm fortunate at the judo club, is, and in Dojo Launchpad actually, is the fact that Sam, my wife, she sort of keeps me on track. You know, have you done this? She keeps me accountable. Also, we've got a really good team now at the judo club that are, you know, they're always doing their work, they know exactly what they're doing, and if there's things that need to be done, people remind me, hang on, Vince, you've not done this. And unfortunately, with the podcast, it's generally just as I get in an idea, I then jump on and start recording it. And it took me a while once again to figure out how I actually record it and do it. But yeah, as I said, I do enjoy it and I want to do more. And I think I'm going to commit to 10. I think if I say I'm going to do 10, let's see if I can do a good 10 podcasts and then go from there. I'm going to say it's my office at the judo club. It's not an office, it's a storage room. I've got about 200 mats and about 200 judo suits around me and a massive pack of popcorn, actually. So we do at the club life skills. So for us within our judo club, obviously we have the judo stuff, but the life skills is a lot more about, we actually use the moral codes. We talk about, you know, courage, respect, all those things, but we have other things, and the children have to work on it for a couple of months. So they'll get a worksheet that they take home, and they'll say, for example, at the moment they're working on determination, so they've got to think about times, whether it's at school, at home, or even at judo, where they think about maybe stopping or quitting because it's getting a bit hard, and you know, they're determined to carry on and they complete their action. For example, my boys, they had to tidy their room, and they're like me, they lose concentration. And my youngest, George, he's put down on his worksheet, he actually finished the job. He didn't want to do it. He was determined to get it done because that's what he was asked to do. So anyway, a little bit of a tangent. So at the end of, once they've finished their worksheets, all the children that have done their worksheets, they then qualify for the award. And last month we done a movie night. So we ordered some massive bags of popcorn and we slightly overordered. So in this store cupboard, / office, yeah, we've got a huge bag of popcorn around as well. So anyway, that's me obviously showing why I'm struggle with my focus, because I've just told you about some popcorn in the room. But I wanted to sort of check in first, really, and sort of see how you guys are getting on. I've missed this conversation. I was actually at the British Schools this weekend, just gone, and actually I thought it was really good. It was really nice. And it's funny because the setup of the British Schools was pretty much the same as the British Championships and the Senior British Championships and stuff, but there was just a completely different vibe. The parents were, it seemed, engaged, or the spectators seemed engaged. And I don't know why, and I'd love to understand what the difference is between the events, and I'd like to know like what your thoughts are on it as well, if I'm honest, because it just seems completely different. It reminded me a little bit more of the British Masters, the sort of the fact that people wanting to be there, they wanted to be part of it, they wanted to enjoy it. And I think that would be absolutely awesome to replicate across every tournament, you know, being in a place and maintaining that level of we're here to promote judo. It's not here to run a competition. We're here to promote judo and, you know, make sure that everybody's enjoying themselves, having a good time. So yeah, what's been going on in your world? What's significant? What have you been doing? How's your club doing? You know, I've obviously been doing a lot of work with Dojo Launchpad and, you know, working with the guys on helping them grow their clubs. I'd love some topics for you guys as well. I've got one of the reasons why this podcast I'm hoping will be slightly different this 10 is because I've actually got, you know, a little bit of structure behind things I would want to talk about. And I'll most probably do one a week, maybe one every other week for this 10. But I've got a bit of a system now. I've got a few things I want to talk about. But I'd love to know, you know, I want to keep it relevant for you guys as well. So if you've got something around your judo club that you'd like to talk about, if you've got something around actual judo ideas, you know, we were having a conversation at our judo club, and we had some because we're going through gradings at the moment. Okay, so we've just actually, it's funny, we've just finished our children's grading assessments, and one of the things that we've done this time is we've changed how we represent the grades. So instead of doing like a yellow tab around your red belt or you know a red tab around your yellow belt, what we've decided to do is award the children a new belt each time. And it's quite hard. I think the grading system for British Judo is like quite a challenging one, really, because if you've got a child that starts at 5 years old, for example, they're potentially going to do 27 gradings before they actually are eligible to pick up, like go for their black belt. You know, if they're doing the Mon grade all the way through. Now, I know some people are going to say, you know, at green belt you can swap them over to a Q grade depending on their range and stuff. But if gradings were used as a retention tool, 27 gradings were nowhere, like whatever way you look at it, even 18 is a lot of gradings to be able to accomplish, you know, to keep somebody motivated. So the question around that is, does it work? And one of the things that we thought was like one tab around the belt just didn't sit right with us. It didn't look particularly good. And actually it was a headache as well because we would put the stripes around the tabs around the belt ourselves and they would potentially fall off. But then also British Judo would eventually send some through and then the parents would put those tabs on. So like we had a kid come in with like four tabs once and you know it was just a little bit of a mess. It didn't particularly look that nice for me. So what we decided was we'd make a bit more of occasion of it and for us, we've just done 450 odd grading assessments and we've delivered all the belts. And we were never really that happy on how we delivered them. It was always messy. So we've gone for a new system now. We have all the belts out. We give them our own certificates. And the way we decided to represent it was we have the first tab. So, for example, let's start from a red belt. So, the first tab would be a red belt with a white stripe that goes through it. The second tab would be a red stripe with a black, sorry, a red belt with a black stripe that goes through it. And then the third one would just be a full red belt. And then the same system for yellow. So, yellow and white. And then it would be yellow and black, full yellow. Same for orange, all the way up to brown. And the reason why we've done it like that is because then if they finished on the full color, if they were, for example, on our juniors, or if some of the juniors moved up to seniors, or whichever way round, we knew that the end grade, whether they were a Q grade or a junior grade, we knew that they were the top. And we've just rolled it out. We've given out all of the belts and stuff now, and it looks really, really smart. And if it's something that you're thinking about, or if you've thought about, like, how do you do it, I would recommend it's, you know, it's a real. Visually, it looks really nice. It's much easier on delivery because when we award the belts, we sort of tie it up for them around their belt. We give them their certificate. And it just looks nicer than trying to put a bit of electrical tape around the end. So we're really happy actually with how this now looks and how we've done it. But yeah, actually, I got completely sidetracked then, actually, didn't I? Because I was talking about adult gradings. Yeah, so that's how we've decided to represent our children's grades. Okay, so we were doing some grading work because they do like an assessment day where we do it all together. They were talking about some of the techniques that come in around the blue belt and the brown belt stuff, and actually how we don't allow certain techniques at our club, and especially at an adult level. So for example, sacrifice techniques, we don't allow taniatoshis or take backs and stuff. And there's a few reasons for this, and I'll hopefully you'll indulge me a little bit. And I know this will definitely put people against me and say, oh, I don't agree with that. But that's okay too. Like, I think it's worth having the conversation. At your club, you would be able to do, what you like to do. It's just preference. So something like, for example, taniatoshi, we don't allow that, okay? And the version that I teach is actually was taught to me by my coach, or one of my coaches, Marco, and I've never seen a taniatoshi as good as this as a throw. And it's the one I like to teach, but we, as a rule, we don't do it. There's a couple of reasons. So one of the reasons is just purely injuries. Okay, so when we think about a judo throw, to be able to do a judo throw, there has to be a lift phase. And especially when we're thinking about keeping adults safe, like a blue belt could have done judo for a couple of years at my, like they could have gone through a grading each, and they're on second year or third year. That's not a long time to be doing judo and to fully understand how we do some of these, I'm going to say, slightly dangerous techniques. Because I see, when I see injuries, it's techniques like taniatoshi, sumi, like stuff where you lose control because you go through a falling phase rather than a lifting phase. Okay, so we don't allow taniatoshi at the club for injuries. The amount of knees that can be shattered and stuff like that. But also, one of the reasons that we talk to them about it is what we would like you to do is get better at judo. So we know turning in for a taiatoshi or turning in for a nippon shinagi or an uchimata or haragoshi is actually quite challenging. It takes a lot of skill, a lot of timing, and a lot of belief that you're going to be able to do it. So I see it all the time with adults that they struggle to get past the thought phase and actually attempt it. And if you're on a class where you do taniatoshis, or there's a group of people on that class that are waiting just to do this one technique, it actually discourages people from turning their back and trying to throw. And in that instance, when they're not turning their back and trying to throw, they're not actually doing any judo. They're so worried about being taken back and maybe losing, or injuring themselves, worst case scenario, that actually they don't try and throw each other. And for me, that's not the aim of judo, especially if we're talking about recreational judo, people who are coming along to enjoy it, have fun, to improve their skills. It's such a high risk technique with a low value outcome for me. And that's honestly how I look at it. And that's one of the reasons why we don't actually have visitors at the club either. We have people that can come along and try our class, but it's a philosophy around how we want to develop judo. And I'm really passionate about it, and I really want people on the mats to learn and fall in love with judo. And if we're worried about them being injured every 5 seconds, they can't be on the mat, they can't do judo, and they can't achieve their goals. Most adults that start judo, so we're fortunate now. I think we've got about 70 adults at our club, I think, off the top of my head. And I want them to be on the mats, loving judo and developing their skills. And the reason why they start isn't because necessarily that they want to be really good at judo, it's because they either want a new challenge, they want to get more confidence, they want to become fitter, they want to be stronger. Maybe they've done it as a kid and they want to get back into it and they're trying to find their level. So I want people to be on the mats, and I want them to accomplish all those things. If they become injured through, an uncontrolled technique or doing things potentially that high risk, like even thing like drop techniques, we don't do those as a rule either. We teach them within the syllabus for gradings, but we don't practice them because once again, people turn and either injure themselves or they just pull their partner down and they smash their face off the floor. And it's just a such a low risk for me, or a low value outcome to such a high risk, I think is a better way of putting it. So we have a clear system there, but going through the grading system, we obviously then have to show these techniques. And for me, it works really well. I love the classes. I love the fact that people can do randori, they can feel safe. Now, it's judo, you're never going to mitigate every opportunity or every chance of being injured. But that for me is something I'm really passionate about keeping people on the mats. And even in our children, we don't teach that sort of stuff. And for the children, it's slightly different reasons. I'm not so much worried about the children being injured from those things. I mean, you will have, if you're doing lots of drop techniques, you'll have things like overuse injury and repetitive strain, like if they're always dropping to their knees, developing osseous ladders and stuff. So there are risks on that. But for me, the reason why we don't do techniques like that is more to do with mindset about generally when the children will go and do those techniques. They will do it when they haven't particularly prepped for the technique. They will do it when they're under pressure, maybe against somebody bigger, maybe against somebody stronger. And instead of, using their body, out gripping, using their movement to try and gain better positioning or create space, they do techniques that actually they can do under pressure. And that for me is not the right mindset. You want to be able to get to a point where you're still fighting your, what's the best way of putting this? You want to be able to realize that it's not the best, it's not what's easy, it's what's the best in that situation. And so that's one of the reasons why we don't teach drop techniques. And for me, the system's fair enough. Like if you know what you're doing with movement and dropping, like you can count on most of those techniques anyway. And it's something actually I've pretty much done since I started coaching. And I think that's one of the reasons why I love judo as well, because I know there'll be people listening to this and sort of thinking, Vince, you're talking a load of rubbish. Like I teach it, and that's fine because I like going to competitions. I like the children coming up against different styles because every single style in judo works and every single style in judo doesn't work too. It all comes about application. And this is why I don't particularly like, well, one of the reasons why I don't particularly like one system, one center work, because I think every system can work, every system doesn't work. And if you remove that interest there, like that, because some people will love the way I do it and some people will absolutely hate it. And by having more options, they can find a place where they feel most comfortable and where they feel most aligned. And that for me is really, really important. So, yeah, I sort of went off on a tangent then. And I guess, yeah, that's how my mind works a little bit. I think I started this point with, if you've got judo things you'd like to talk to me, would like me to talk about, that'd be absolutely awesome. I'd do that too. And give you reasonings, it's silly stuff like this, just going through the mindset of how I think about it. And one thing I'd question you on is, why do you do the things that you do? Is it because you've thought about it, you think it's a great idea, brilliant? Or is it because that's how you taught were taught it? Or, and this comes down to running your club as well. For me, I'm not going to be apologetic in the fact that I like to challenge the status quo. I think that's really, really important. I don't think we should go, well, that's how I was told to do it, so that's how I'm going to do it, or that's the rules because that's how somebody else, I think it should be challenged. I think the way we improve, the way we develop is by questioning, and not just by question as in arguing for the sake of arguing, like, well, what is the reason for that? Do you have any good philosophies behind it? Do you have any good fundamentals, any research about that? And whether it's on the judo mat or growing your judo club, like everything that we do. So when we're teaching in our dojo launchpad stuff, we'll question everything. And we've been running this now for sort of 5, 6 months, and we're really happy with the progress that everybody's making. But they're really, everybody on the mastermind group knows that they're going to get the best information from us as we know it right now. And we don't know everything, but that's not the point. We're open to the idea of improving, and the results speak for themselves. All of their clubs are growing. We're all achieving, which is so important. And yeah, it's going really, really well. And actually, within the Dojo Launchpad, going back to the British school, one of the problems I have is I would love to speak to more coaches about it, and I'd love to come out. And I know, unfortunately, I have like a resting bitch face a lot of the time. So when I'm at competitions, a lot of the time, I know that people and coaches don't come up and speak to me because I just don't look like I want to speak to, and that is one thing that I am trying to get over. And it's not because I don't want to speak to it. Like, if anybody's actually spoken to me or come up and spoke to me, I'll give you my time. I'll talk about things and give you ideas and, ask opinions and things like that. It just, I know it's quite hard when I'm stood there looking very serious, and it is something that I'm working on. So, if you are there and you want to have a conversation about anything to do with your club or anything like that, please, please do come up and speak to me. I promise. I won't tell you where to go. Well, most of the time I won't anyway. So that would be really good. And if at the moment I'm really, really dedicated to Dojo Launchpad and our judo club, and that is going to be the biggest focus. I would like to develop a lot more on the judo coach as well. So my YouTube videos, I was speaking to somebody at the British schools, and they said they watch a lot of my stuff on YouTube. And I really want to get back to that. But once again, it's just me managing my time. I know I'm really good at starting things and then, getting distracted and doing other things. So I'm going to try and really, really focus on getting these podcasts done. And yeah, I'm going to commit to 10. I think that's really good. And whilst I'm hopefully got your attention and not gone off too much, one of the things that I'm looking to start with Dojo Launchpad is working specifically. Now, within Dojo Launchpad, we work with all coaches. There is an interview process, and to join the mastermind, it's not just you pay your money and you can join. That we our values have to be aligned. We have to believe we can help you. Because if we can't help you, we won't take your money, essentially. But one of the things that Sam and I are really passionate about is helping young coaches and young athletes who, or not young, athletes who are coming to the end of their judo careers, starting up and running their own clubs. I actually finished my judo career, I'm sure I've spoken about this before, at the age of 24, through lots of injuries. I won't go in and bore you about that. I mean, I was full time at Cambly, and things happened. But I was really, really fortunate of the fact that I had a really supportive coach in Luke Preston. Like, he helped me get on my coaching qualifications, my level two, my level three, my level four, my level five. He helped me all the way through, and I actually had people in British Judo that helped me with that as well, which I'm really, really thankful for. But I know that's not the case for every athlete, and I've had conversations with people about trying to get something started for the guys who are leaving or thinking about leaving judo. I think it's just such a different prospect if you're a judo athlete and you're around 18, 19, 20, and you're thinking, like, should I go to university? Should I get an apprenticeship? I absolutely love judo, but there's no career in it. If you knew at the end of your judo career, you could walk into a job that's sort of 25, £30,000 a year, it's a different mindset. You'd be thinking, well, actually, there's potential there. And maybe it's the fact that they want to run their own club, or maybe they want to work for a club, because we all know, like, this is the funny thing. Performance judo coaching is actually the smallest part of judo coaching. Unfortunately, a lot of people think it's the other way around. They think actually performance coaching is the main thing. You've got working for England, you've got working for British Judo, working in internationally. But actually, the bulk of the judo coaching done around the world is club judo. It's club judo. And that it's the bedrock for judo growth. You have to have this for judo to grow. And I'm seeing this. We need to move away from thinking that the only way you can earn a living in judo is through going through performance. It absolutely isn't. And actually, you limit yourself. Honestly, absolutely limit yourself if you think that's it. Through our club, actually, we've got a junior leadership program that we run, and we help kids. It's a 6 month program that they go through training, they go on, and then we move them into our coaching program. And we've got had one lad who started with us as a white belt. He's gone through his junior leadership, and he was in college, and he turned around to us and said, "Look, I'm not really getting on at college. I'm finding it tricky. What I'd really love to do is I'd love to coach." And we're like, brilliant, let's have this conversation. So he's on actually a year's training program with us now. And at the end of that, he'll be qualified. If he meets all his criteria, he's already done his level one, and we will put him on a level two. But actually, our coaching program's more important for us. And when he gets on the end of that, he's got a full-time salary. He's salaried, he knows his path over the next 3 years of what I'd be earning. He'll then also, if he wanted, and this is for anybody within our model, that if they wanted and they feel like they want to run the business as well, they could set up their own full-time place. We've got the plans already outlaid for that, and for me, if there's young judo coaches or if there are athletes coming towards the end, I'd love to be part of that. Sam would love to be a part of that and helping you achieve, setting up your own club, or maybe you already have a club, but you want to grow it even further. Because we lose so much knowledge in judo through people getting to the end of the career and no performance jobs are available. Or actually, even if they go into a performance job, that doesn't help our grassroots. So for me, I want to try and keep people involved in judo for much longer. I want people to be able to coach at every level, and I think that comes from helping them. So yeah, I actually had some notes on my pad here about what I was going to talk about, and I got a little bit distracted, but I'm sort of conscious of the time as well. I don't want these to be super long, these, and actually I've got a few bits I need to do in a little while. So what do you think of the first podcast back? I'm just looking at the screen now, actually, and I plugged in my microphone, but what I'm nervous on is that it hasn't connected to my microphone and it's just going through my speaker or my microphone on my laptop, and the sound's going to be rubbish. So if it is rubbish, I apologize, and I'll do better next time. If you're interested in finding out, I've got a newsletter through Dojo Launchpad, which I'll put a link to at the bottom of this podcast. If you're interested in signing up to the newsletter, I send out weekly updates on things about club growth, thoughts, ideas, things that are happening, discussion points. So if you want to be kept up to date with all of that, I'll put the link into that. Or if you're interested in finding a little bit more about the Dojo Launchpad Mastermind, the program's doing really, really well. The coaches are absolutely flying on it. So if you'd like to find out a bit more about that, awesome. But yeah, I am going to end it there. Actually, I was thinking about changing the name of this podcast, and I basically decided not to do it just because I like the jingle. I've told you before that one of the kids I used to teach, he made the jingle for me, so I can't actually change the name of this podcast ever. So yeah, I'm gonna leave it there. I hope you all have a great time, and I look forward to speaking to you all very, very soon.
Judo talk, talk, 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 judo talk.